That's great.
Sitting for like 20 people.
That's great. He's the best.
Yeah.
He and I just went to D.C. two days ago.
To where?
We just went to Washington together. Oh.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for being here. We will call the Las Vegas Stadium Authority Board meeting of Thursday, May 22nd, to order. And I will ask Ms. Bateman to call the roll.
Good morning, or good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. All members are present either in person or virtually, other than Director Jones-Blackhurst, Member Vaez, Member White, and Member Yosaitis. You have a quorum, and the meeting may proceed.
Thank you. This is the first opportunity for the public to address the board. If there's any member of the public that would like to do so, please limit your comments to those items on the agenda and to 3 minutes, and please identify yourself. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Hi, good afternoon, Chairman Hill, and members of the Las Vegas Stadium Authority Board. My name is Yolanda King Branch, and I'm here today to speak on agenda item number 9 regarding the Community Benefits Director appointment. I'd like to begin by saying that I come before you respectfully, but also with disappointment. I was informed I was not considered for this role due to my involvement during the 35th special legislative session on Senate Bill number 1. It is important for me to clarify that I do meet all the eligibility requirements that are outlined in both SB 1 as well as the Stadium Authority's solicitation of interest. Let me briefly review these eligibility requirements. First, the candidate must have resided in Clark County at least for 5 years immediately preceding the appointment. I am a lifelong Clark County resident. Second, the candidate cannot be employed by a Major League Baseball team or any affiliate or related entity of the team. I am not employed by the team or any affiliated or related entity. And third, the candidate cannot be employed by or directly provide services or goods to the Major League Baseball Stadium Project or any affiliate or related entity of the stadium project. Notice this requirement states directly provides goods or services. I do not provide goods or services to the stadium project or any affiliate or related entity of the stadium project. Additionally, the solicitation emphasized the need for experience in community engagement, compliance monitoring, enforcement, public policy, and stakeholder relations. These are all core strengths of mine that are highlighted and stated Also, I must highlight that I have recently been appointed as role as compliance monitor for the Clark County School District, where I have evaluated the district's performance as well as the transparency and their compliance with law. As for my involvement for SB 1, please let me be clear. I did not lobby on behalf of the Major League Baseball team or the stadium project. I did not advocate for or against the legislation. And my role was simply to educate the legislators on what a community benefits plan agreement was and also what are the examples of such agreements throughout the country of the community benefits agreement. Again, I was simply there to educate the educators on what a community benefits plan included. I believe staff's interpretation of my involvement in SB1 and their decisions to disqualify me was based on perception of conflict of interest and not on the letter of law. While I respect and have a great respect and friendship for Mr. Burnett, I congratulate him on the recommendation. And in closing, I just want to state that I have met the requirements, I followed the process, and I respectfully request that this statement be reflected in the record for the sake of transparency, fairness, and integrity. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing no one. If the board's had an opportunity to review the agenda in the minutes, unless there are changes that are recommended, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved. Zanella.
Please cast your votes.
Burroughs McKinney James, aye.
Thank you. We will move to comments by the chair and the board and the staff. I'll be brief. We've kind of entered a stage with the Stadium Authority where we are no longer obviously negotiating the agreements with the A's. We are monitoring the progress of both the A's and the Legion Stadium. We will be on a cadence of quarterly meetings unless something pops up that requires us to call a special meeting, and I think the agenda kind of reflects that that cadence and that set of responsibilities today. Both Allegiant, which I think we've known for quite some time, is just running along doing very well, making a real difference in the community. Progress on the A's ballpark has been great. It's great to see construction start out there on time when we had said all along it would start. We look forward to identifying a groundbreaking date, which we should be able to do very soon. It's not contingent upon the construction itself. This is just making sure that all of the people who should be there have the opportunity to be there. So we will announce that date relatively soon. I'll make a comment on the performance agreement that made a little news, I guess today, maybe yesterday. I've said several times in this role as chair of the Stadium Authority that the agreements that we put together here, the first page is reflective of what is supposed to happen, and the next 160 pages, even though we don't expect things to go wrong, have to anticipate what happens in the event that things don't go the way the original front page agreement works. The performance agreement with the county is the exact same thing. There's not an expectation that that agreement is going to have to be implemented, but because every now and then in the community we've seen a project start and not be able to finish, it's important to have an agreement on what happens if that takes place. So that's what that agreement is. It's as part of the conversation around the total of development agreement that will continue and I think wrap up relatively soon. But progress commences or continues, and there's no concern that is reflected in the agreement on that particular document. So with that, I'll ask the board if anybody has any comments they would like to make. And if not, we will move to agenda item one.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, board. Agenda item one requests the board's approval of the proposed fiscal year 2025 budget amendment and the transfer reconciliation schedule, adopting the associated resolution 2025-02, rescinding resolution 2025-01. That approval was at the March 2025 meeting. So this budget amendment is proposed for a few reasons. The first is to simplify the flow of football funds. I've shown this slide a few times. Room taxes levied for the football stadium project are used to make bond payments to pay for the operations of the authority, debt reserve if need be, debt reserve is fully funded, to make UNLV payments for the loss of income from Sam Boyd Stadium, to flow into the football stadium capital fund. A couple of agenda items touch that today. And then anything that makes it to the bottom of the waterfall is available for stadium capital, for debt retirement, or for infrastructure around the facility. So let's move to sort of an accounting perspective. I've talked to you a little bit before about governmental accounting and the use of funds. Transitioning that to funds, the football stadium fund is where we receive room taxes. And the way this should work is that the payment out for bonds should go to the football debt service fund. Admin costs get paid out of that core fund. UNLV transfers are made to the UNLV fund. Capital transfers are made to the capital fund, and the waterfall residual collects all the accumulation. What's really happened in the first 5 years of this organization, though, is this flow of funds. And in this flow of funds, the UNLV funds, the capital funds, go to the waterfall fund and back. And the only thing that means is when you sit down and try to read a budget or you sit down to read the financial statement, you just can't trace the numbers through it. It's boogery. This is what it ought to look like, and the majority of the line items in this budget accomplish that. And so this is a little hard to read unless you're sitting out in the stands. But now when you look at these budget pages, what you see is up at the top, this is the football stadium fund. The room tax and the interest comes there. And then you can just go down to this section. You can see all those numbers in one place as direct transfers, $38 million-ish to pay debt, so on and so forth. I'll go through some of these numbers in detail later. The second thing that this reserve or that this amendment does is it puts the reserves back in the waterfall residual fund. Another thing that happened in the first number of years once we started to accumulate here is those monies were actually put back into the football stadium fund. What I really want to do with that football stadium fund is make it obvious, and this will manifest through it, that when the Raiders, for example, look at that football stadium construction fund, they can see the amounts available to them based on the board-approved projects. The board has not contemplated any use of those waterfall funds. If and when we do, we will accomplish a different accounting of it. This is just a visual of that, where all the money was going back to the stadium capital projects fund, and we reverse it in this amendment, and all the money, I'll go back, that bottom $58 million in the corner is the retention in the waterfall reserve fund of those excesses. Third thing it does is it catches up on UNLV payments, primarily because of the COVID-related cash flow and the challenges of the room tax through the waterfall. We found ourselves in a situation where UNLV was in a fiscal year getting paid for not the fall season that happened in that fiscal year, but the fall season before. And in fact, earlier this year when the board approved the first UNLV payment, they did it for the fall 2023 season. Another agenda item here today is to accomplish catching them up, paying them for the fall 24 season in this fiscal year, which will be the basis going forward for how we pay them. While we were in here making a budget memo, we went ahead and actualized last year ending reserve balances. We updated some interest estimates. And then the last thing this budget amendment does is it budgets for unbudgeted baseball flows. So I told you that we're rescinding a reso here. In March, I brought you a reso for budget for baseball. In the course of then sitting down in the couple of months between and building the 2026 budget, had some better ideas about how to structure the 2025 baseball budget. And so the 2025 baseball budget, and I'll walk you through flow of funds here in a little bit, is an estimate. There'll be a little bit of money that comes in here in the last couple of months. This fiscal year again ends June 30th. And the first year money will go to pay for formation cost. Here to date, there hasn't been any generation of SCID revenues, the money generated from the baseball site. So the football fund has fronted that money. So the baseball fund will reimburse the football fund for any money the football fund has spent. And then we'll start to build on the debt, two-time debt service reserve for the anticipated bond deal. This is an action item, Mr. Chair. Staff recommends approval.
Questions from the board for Mr. Finger? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Please cast your votes.
Rose McKinney James, support.
Thank you. Okay, agenda item two.
Mr. Chair, agenda item two is also budgetary. It asks the board to conduct a public hearing and consider approving the fiscal year 2026 Stadium Authority budget. A reminder, our fiscal year runs from July 1st through June 30th. If it's your pleasure, I recommend that I give a brief presentation, that you open the public hearing, and then I answer any questions that the board or the public might have that you'd like me to entertain. As an overview, state law requires the submission of the budget. It requires that a tentative budget be turned into the state no later than April 15, which staff did. It then requires in the last part of May that the board have a public hearing and the budget hearing in a public format. And what I propose to you today is that tentative budget that was sent to the state. The state reviewed it and certified that we were compliant with state law as it relates to budget and budget structure. So what we now have when we build a budget, and it was talked about in the 2025 budget a little bit, is we have a budget that contains a stream of football operation, a stream of baseball operation. I showed you this slide in the last one. I won't walk through it again. This is the football waterfall. Whole lot of numbers here, and I'll try to break them up one piece at a time. This budget is substantially similar in concept and size to the 2025 board approved football budget. This budget predicts $62 million of room tax. It's a solid year, but it's down from the peak of 2024, which we saw us get $66.5 million of room tax. And it's a little bit down from where we'll probably end this year. And I'd guess that we end this year budgeted 62, that we ended at 63.5 or 64, give or take. There will be adequate waterfall funds to meet the debt service payment requirements, that $38 million-ish top line number in this newly highlighted green section. To meet the cost of authority operations, this is the statutorily allowed budget amount. We will probably spend 40% or less of this. The UNLV contribution payment, it's budgeted up to $3.5 million a year. UNLV has not asked for that dollar amount yet in the first three payments. When we get to this point of the waterfall, we have about, on a projected basis, $17.5 million rolling forward. For the sake of this presentation, if we take existing reserves, that $58 million I showed you in the waterfall fund a couple of slides ago, the amount of money sitting in the football stadium fund, the amount of interest earned in other funds, there is the capacity for up to $78 million of capital. Follow that with the statutorily directed amount of money, started at $5 million a number of years ago, inflated by CPI, that is required to be allocated if waterfall fund availability exists to the football stadium capital fund for Allegiant Stadium projects. That's the $6.6 million in the right corner. If everything stays on pace, we end the year next year with about $71 million in waterfall reserves that are available for the as they are built up for the certain need as the stadium ages for material upgrades, making the facility current in both technology and other amenities, also available for concepts of infrastructure around the facility and debt service. Flip into how much money is in reserve. Government accounting uses this term called fund balance. It's an equity concept from an accounting perspective. Most of the money in this organization sits in the debt fund. The $113 million is a combination of money that is compiled on a 1/6 and 1/12 basis as a contribution towards the next debt service payments, but $99 million of that $113 I just showed you is the required two-time debt service level. That $99, we accomplished that year before the one we're in, last fiscal year, 2024, the full funding of that reserve. Now it continues to build and accumulate additional interest, so that reserve sits at about 2.2 times debt service coverage. The Football Stadium Capital Fund, we project that we will spend all the money in it this year. With that same 6.6 transfer I told you about comes over, we earn a little bit of interest on it. That's available, and that's the budgeted capital outlay that's available, and we project to spend all of it, same $71 million of reserves. Let's flip over and talk about baseball for a minute. Baseball stadium, football stadium's in an operational phase. Baseball stadium's going to be in a construction phase for the next 3 years. I've shown this slide once or twice in this room before. Similar, the law prescribes a waterfall for baseball, and it does it pre-bond issuance, post-bond issuance, and it's different. So pre-bond issuance, SCID revenues, and for the sake of this conversation, SCID revenues, again, are all the taxes and fees that would have otherwise been generated in the footprint of the stadium operations that the county or state would have collected, instead are redirected to the purpose of this organization for baseball operations. The first thing that happens under the law is the county treasurer is required to hold it for bond payments and or the accumulation of reserve fund. Bond payments aren't technically applicable yet. And then any monies available come to us, the stadium authority, through the baseball stadium tax account. In this construction phase, it can be used for three things, to continue to build that bond reserve fund. And notationally, that again is two times what ultimately the bond annual debt service is once the bond is sized. For the formation and operation, all the efforts that we have gone through, that statement I made about paying the football stadium back to negotiate all the deals and get to the point we're at and the ongoing operations forward. And then any flow over can go to pay-as-you-go stadium capital. The real money comes in, though, when the county does the bond deal. County will pay for the cost of bond issuance and capitalize interest out of that. then if we haven't accumulated the full bond reserve fund at that time, money will be spent to get it to 2x. Otherwise, all the money is available for stadium construction. And then in 5 tranches, the $180 million of state transferable tax credits, they come in $36 million at a time, and they go directly to reimbursement of stadium construction costs. I realize that's a lot of arrows and a lot of point, but hopefully the words added some color to that that made it semi-digestible. So to translate it to a budget this year, we anticipate the potential of $12 million of SCID revenues coming from construction materials, primarily the sales and use tax on construction materials. This bond proceeds of $120 million is not an etched in stone number. It's a TBD number, and that's a marker out there that'll be dependent on a number of factors that need to conversations of whether or not interest is capitalized, the accumulation of reserve prior to the issuance of the bonds, and interest rates at the time of the bonds. Once the bond deal happens, they're eligible, the team are eligible for the first tranche of the state transferable tax credits, some interest earnings, and you have that kind of potential revenue flow in the organization next year for baseball purposes. Bonds cost some money to issue for underwriters and other people. I've talked to you about the accumulation of debt reserve. If we issue in that year, we have the potential of debt service payment in that year, cost of authority operations, and then the meat of that money goes to baseball stadium construction and the public contribution towards it. Quick reminder that it's a $1.75 billion anyway baseball stadium, of which a maximum of $380 million will be the public contribution. As has been said in this room, probably the full $380 million doesn't get realized. Sandy Dean spoke to you guys a number of months ago about that because of those considerations I told you about in the bond deal. And the other thing I'll tell you is the bond deal might not happen next year. That is not indicative of any construction pacing or other things. In the finances and the financial planning of this, the baseball team has the potential for sort of interest rate carry and other things to actually issue the bonds later in the construction period as opposed to earlier for sort of their maximization of cost of capital. That is in the public's interest. The private dollars getting spent in front of the public dollars is a protection that was actually built into the law, and this exceeds those requirements. Mr. Chair, that is my presentation on the 2026 budget. If you'll open the public hearing, and I'm available for any questions you might have afterwards.
Thank you, Mr. Finger. I will just add, and you addressed this, but put a little stronger point on it. The budget that you see for the baseball stadium, you know, in the private sector is generally a prediction of what you think is going to happen. Given the way that state budgeting and then spending within that budget works, this is a statement of potential, and it is to make sure that the public understands that these things may happen up to these limits, and so the revenue coming in, we feel at this point is probably the maximum that might come in during that period of time, and then spending all of the revenue that comes in is not necessarily a prediction. It is simply budgeted so that it gives us the authority that if that revenue comes in, we have the ability to spend it. So it's easy to look at that and feel like we're projecting that that is what is going to happen, and that is not necessarily the case. So with that, I will open the public hearing and ask if there's any member of the public that would like to address or discuss the fiscal year 26 budget with the board. Seeing none, we will close the public hearing. And I'll ask if the board has any questions for Mr. Finger.
Mr. Chair. Mike Newcomb for the record. I have a disclosure on item number 2. I'm employed by the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, where I serve as the executive director of Thomas and Mack Center and Cox Pavilion. In agenda item 2, staff seeks the board's approval of the Stadium Authority's fiscal year 26 budget. The budget includes an expenditure to UNLV for the compensation payment related to the loss of net income as a result of closing Sam Boyd Stadium. The independence of judgment of a reasonable person in my situation may be materially affected regarding the budget with the proposed UNLV payment, as my employer will directly benefit from the payment. Therefore, I will abstain from deliberating or voting on agenda item number two.
Thank you, Mr. Newcomb. Anybody else? Comments, questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it's Rose McKinney James. Mr. Finger, with respect to the item on the bond proceeds, you indicated that that is a placeholder. And I just want to ask if you believe that that is the range based on some projections that we have in place, so that while it is a placeholder, it could be obviously more or less, but do you have a sense of what that range might be?
Director, I coordinated, for the sake of this budget presentation, that dollar amount with the county chief financial officer. Under the law, she's ultimately responsible for determining, based on the amount of projected SCID revenues, the amount of bond issuance available to meet certain coverage requirements. That $120 million, as we stand here today, is in the ballpark of what that bond deal looks like, and in the interest rate environment we're in, is conservative to what that bond deal could be. I think right now it has the potential to be a little bit larger, but that has an asterisk on it that is in the interest rate environment we're in today.
And there's going to be a penalty jar for every time you say in the ballpark.
No. I'm not smart enough to have thought of that on my own.
Any other questions? Okay, then I would entertain a motion to adopt the authority's final budget for fiscal year 2026.
Dieter DeBerry, I'll make that motion.
Please cast your votes.
Okay. Rose McKinney James, support.
Thank you. Agenda item three.
Mr. Chair, state law requires the annual submission of a five-year capital plan, which is now shown on the screen. For the football stadium, the top half of this grid, the budget is the amount of the waterfall transfer we've talked about a couple of times here so far. That amount increases by CPI each year under law, so it made some estimates about what CPI might do to that in years 27 through 30. In the event the board approves use of the waterfall residual fund, the reserve I talked to you about a couple times in the budget presentation, we would come back and amend it. So very specifically, I'm talking about the 6.7 increasing to 7.5-ish from 26 to 30 in the top half of that. That's the transfer we make for the Raiders capital submissions. For the baseball fund, the lower half, the project is the public contribution to the initial construction of the stadium. Sources include the county bond issuance, those state TTC credits, SCID revenues, and any potential interest generated there. The construction window is 3 years. Spring of 28 is the expected opening date, but the public contribution occurs over a longer period of time. Those state tax credits come in, they're eligible for issuance at bond issuance, at one-third, two-thirds, and completion of construction, and then 1 year after operation of the facility, with an additional requirement that no more than one tranche can be issued in any fiscal year. So that's why you see a five-year demonstration of public contribution here, and it's not to be misassumed that that has anything to do with the construction timeline. The 2026 figures for both football and baseball are the same as the 2026 budget. All future amounts are informational. They're non-binding. They will be amended from year to year throughout the budget process. Mr. Chair, this is an action item and staff recommends approval.
Are there any questions by the board? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve.
Dieter DeBerry, I'll make it to approve.
Please cast your votes.
Rose McKinney James, support.
Passes unanimously. Agenda item four.
Mr. Chair, agenda item four was discussed multiple times so far. It is the UNLV contribution payment of $1,234,888.61 for the fall 2024 season. This compensates UNLV for the loss of net income caused by the closing of Sam Boyd Stadium, a payment they're eligible for 10 years. This is an action item and staff recommends approval.
Mr. Chair, Mike Newcomb for the record. I have a disclosure to make on item agenda item number four. I'm employed by the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, wherein I serve as the executive director of the Thomas Mack Center and Cox Pavilion. Agenda item number four proposes a compensation payment to UNLV pursuant to Section 34 of Senate Bill 1 for the loss of net income as a result of the closing of Sam Boyd Stadium. The independence of judgment of a reasonable person in my situation may be materially affected regarding the proposed payment, as my employer will directly benefit from the payment. Therefore, I will abstain from deliberating or voting on agenda item four.
Thank you, Mr. Newcomb. Unless there are questions from the board, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
Tito Tiberio, I'll make a motion to approve.
Please cast your votes.
Rose McKinney-James, support.
Great, that passes unanimously. Agenda item five.
Mr. Chair, agenda item five is an informational item. It requires no board action. The football stadium lease requires Stadco make a good faith effort and undertake commercially reasonable best practices to maximize the stadium's utility, and that they are also required to report on this utilization to the board. Agenda item five is the Allegiant Stadium activity report for the first calendar quarter of 2025, and I believe Mr. Feldman is on video and he'll give us a brief update on the report.
Good afternoon, everyone. Some quick highlights from quarter one of 2025. We're approaching 700 total events at the stadium and nearing 6 million guests for those events. We've actually passed both those numbers in quarter two. Some event highlights. We closed out the Raiders season. We hosted the Inter-Miami versus Club America game, which was very successful. We hosted our second National Rugby League set of matches. We actually saw a 20% increase in this event over 2024. And then of note, we hosted for the first time in Las Vegas, the NIAA Girls Flag Football State Championship, which was a successful event in quarter one. Other than that, looking forward to a busy summer schedule before football season starts.
Thank you, Mr. Feldman. Any questions for Mr. Feldman? Great. Thank you for the report. Thanks for being with us. Agenda item six.
Mr. Chair, agenda item six asks the board to consider amending the 2025 capital budget for Allegiant Stadium as proposed by the Las Vegas Stadium Events Company. I want to make a point of clarification here. The capital budget in the context of this agenda item is a lease term and not a budget term the way we did budget agenda item one and two. So as a reminder, projects identified like this one, and Mr. Soteropoulos will tell us about this project here when I quit talking, when identified as a capital repair, as it is in this column up here, you see where the $1,057,000 is to the right, it creates eligibility for reimbursement out of the football stadium capital fund. So once you've approved it, as long as waterfall money makes it there to that level, it's available for reimbursement in the future. So Mr. Soteropoulos.
Good afternoon, board. As you recall, we had our initial budget review in December, and there was some comments made about potentially some long bathroom lines, and I think we took that feedback pretty serious. So at the conclusion of that meeting, we actually hired a third-party consultant that came out and kind of identified ways that we could make some improvements in certain areas. You guys should have a copy of that report. I would say most of the information in that report are going to be some operational changes that we're going to make, but we did identify in some of our most affected areas that there are ways that we can improve and increase capacity. So there's five locations that we've identified, four of which are on our 100 level in our east and west sideline clubs, which we're actually able to double the capacity in those affected restrooms. So we're able to hopefully see some relief from lines and such things like that, as well as one location on our 300 level. So we're very excited, hopefully, to get approval on this so we can make those changes and make that guest experience better for our fans, especially at halftime and other locations when we know lines are going to be long.
Yep.
I'd be happy to answer any questions that you guys might have.
And I'll just add out loud that staff, and more importantly, Grand Canyon Development Partners, reviewed the project as they do with all of these, and as written in the agenda item, we're comfortable with this recommendation.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Any questions? Thank you for being here. If there aren't questions, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
Tito Tiberi, I'll make a motion to approve.
Let's cast your votes.
Rose McKinney James, support.
That passes unanimously. Okay, agenda item 7.
Mr. Chair, agenda item 7 is also informational, requires no board action. It's a report on year-to-date stadium district room tax revenues. Again, a lot of numbers. I'll try to focus on a couple of things. Across this, this is an extract from the attached to the agenda report. Room tax is performing well this year. I highlighted 2 months because it's really an outstanding year and only is negative in comparison November and February. And that's because the year before, the November was the inaugural F1 race, which had the normal excitement and economic activity that accompanies an inaugural race. In February of the year before, we had a Super Bowl in this destination, which was meaningfully impactful to room tax. So good year in the year we're in. We just didn't have those particular events. Bottom line is, in the very lightly shaded far right, 3.3%, we're 3% ahead of budget year to date. We anticipated that difference in event activity. Room taxes are performing well. Staff's available for question, but no action necessary.
Any questions for Mr. Finger? Okay, agenda item 8.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, during its April 15th, 2025 meeting, the Board of County Commissioners established the Sports and Entertainment Improvement District, or SEID, by county ordinance. The SEID will assist in the financing of the baseball stadium project by allowing the collection and distribution of certain taxes, fees, and charges imposed within the district. Senate Bill 1 requires an agreement to establish the procedures for the collection and distribution to the county of the imposed charges. The proposed interlocal agreement establishes such procedures amongst the Stadium Authority, Clark County, the Nevada Department of Taxation, and the State Division of Insurance. The Stadium Authority's role pursuant to the interlocal agreement will be to coordinate with the A's to collect information on all persons and businesses operating within the SEID and to notify the county, Department of Tax, and Division of Insurance so that those entities may establish individual SEID accounts to deposit revenue from the imposed charges for later distribution. Staff requests that the board authorize the chair to execute the interlocal agreement. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board? I would just add that I want to thank Clark County and the Department of Taxation and Insurance Division and B&I. This has not been an easy thing to do, and they've been where they helped us as we worked into the legislative session in 2023, and then have put in all the work with us in order to make this agreement happen and allow the stadium to be financed and move forward. So I appreciate the effort of all of them. If there are no questions, I would entertain a motion to approve.
Tito Tiberi, I'll make a motion to approve.
Please cast your votes.
Rose McKinney James, support.
And that passes unanimously. Thank you. Agenda item 9.
Agenda item 9 contemplates the appointment of the Baseball Stadium Community Benefits Director. During its March meeting, the Stadium Authority Board appointed Dr. Darion Pollard and Ms. Janet Quintero to this Baseball Stadium Community Oversight Committee. Combined with appointments by the other authorized appointing persons and entities, the committee's membership was finalized. Senate Bill 1 requires the appointment of a community benefits director to advise the Baseball Stadium Community Oversight Committee and to monitor compliance of the developer partner and Baseball Stadium Events Company with the terms of the board-approved community benefits agreement. Staff posted an application of interest for the director position on March 18th and accepted applications until April 5th. Upon consideration and consultation with Oversight Committee Chair Pollard, staff recommends the appointment of Don Burnett as the Community Benefits Director. Mr. Burnett is a former Clark County manager. He oversaw the operations of over 35 different departments at a time of rapid growth in the county, and he provided effective and responsive leadership. Dr. Pollard interviewed Mr. Burnett and provides through staff her endorsement of Mr. Burnett's appointment. Staff recommends approval, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Any questions for Ms. Bateman? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve.
Due to Bertie, I'll make an appointment.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I did have a question.
Please. Okay.
Thank you. With respect to the comments that came during public comment period from Ms. King Branch, the issue around the conflict that we discussed during the briefing, the information that she provides suggested that there may be a question around the information that staff was provided and whether or not that was accurate. It sort of caught me off guard, and I'm just wondering if staff has any comments with respect to that.
Mr. Finger.
Director James, I had that direct conversation with the candidate who spoke at public hearing. I acknowledge to her that she is legally capable of doing it. I think staff is allowed, and I think this board is allowed consideration beyond the legality of that, and staff did have direct concern about that conflict of interest. It is, in fact, the same conflict of interest that led to the change in administration of this organization in the form of applied analysis, and staff has a slightly different opinion as to whether or not there was advocacy or not in that legislative session. Staff stands by its recommendation of Mr. Burnett.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, I'd entertain a motion. Oh, we have a motion. Please cast your votes. Agenda item 9 passes. Agenda item 10. Please, Mr. Bedane. I did see today that you have skill in repairing fences. It's good to know. So,
well, the real hero is sitting behind me, and Todd Bishop and his wife Christine. Christine runs the Red Rock Friends of Red Rock Foundation, and they do some wonderful things out there, but appreciate you giving me the credit. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, it's nice to see you all again, and those that are joining us virtually. Just give you a quick update on what's going on site in the last few weeks and what will be going on between now and our next gathering a few months from now. As you mentioned, we have essentially broken ground. We have work going on the site. We've started site grading. That permit was granted about a month ago. Ed, if you want to go to the next slide for me. Or do I have the clicker? Oh, there we go. So pictures, I'll call it the first two on the top and the one on the bottom show that we've started excavation. We're going to move about 100,000 cubic feet of dirt between now and July 1. We've started test pilings. Those started, I believe, on the 12th, and we'll go through next week. And then the production piles will start soon after that. The trailer compound, which is picture 3, is about 75% complete. Most of the members of the JV who are currently working out of temporary office space will move over there. So you'll start to see a lot of activity probably around the first week of June, about 50 or 60 folks working out of those trailers. We'll begin to mobilize cranes in late June, early July. You'll start to see things going vertically. We'll do some shallow foundation work starting July 1st. So obviously the next meeting, we'll be able to report back on all of those findings and what we're working on this site. You can go to the next slide, Effie, please. Thanks. You mentioned we're trying to find a date for a ceremonial groundbreaking. Obviously there are a lot of people who were instrumental in getting this project to where it is today. So organizing all of those calendars and schedules is proven challenging, so we're working on finding a date, and as soon as we have that, we'll announce that publicly and throw an event on the site. The last bullet point We are opening an experience center at the Uncommons. It will open probably late September, early October, but provide some real experiential opportunities for locals and for families and people interested in doing some things in the building. We'll have a couple of experiential elements that I think people will be really excited about, and we'll have more details when that gets finalized. Any questions?
Will that center include ticket sales?
It will include ticket sales.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Great. Any questions for Mr. Berdane?
There's a couple additional slides. I just put those up. I know we presented some materials at the last meeting. The board asked if we've done any substantial changes to design. We have not. DDs were done a few months ago. We're in CD phase. Obviously, we're still refining some of the FF&E and some of the finer elements within the building, but the renderings you've seen on this slide and I think the next two or three remain intact.
Any questions for Mr. Berdane? Appreciate you being here, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Looks great. Okay. We will open up the floor for public comment. This can be any matter for which the Stadium Authority has jurisdiction. Please limit comments to 3 minutes. Anybody wish to address the board? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.